Let's go back to Acts chapter 9 now. Acts chapter 9. If you were here, I think it was last Sunday, we looked at the Lord's salvation of this man named Saul. And now this is what happened to him after that. Let's read verse 28 again. This is the text and this is the title of this message. Acts 9:28 says, "And he, Saul, was with them," was with the disciples, "coming in and going out at Jerusalem." Coming and going with the disciples. You know, as we said last Sunday, Paul's story is part of our story. What happened Saul when the Lord God revealed himself to him, when the Lord came to him and revealed the true God and Christ and turned him from his idols to serve the living and true God. That happened to you, Brother Henry, did it? Same thing. What happened to Saul happened to us. And listen to these things. I got this from my pastor and someone else. When Saul, the day that he was confronted with this true Lord, that day he was lifted up with pride. He began that day proud. He ended that day in the dust. The day he heard the truth. He began that day calling that way a lie and a heresy. He ended up the day calling that the only way, his only hope. He began that day calling Jesus just a man. He ended up that day calling him Lord. He began that day thinking he was somebody, thinking he knew something, thinking I see clearly. He ended that day a nobody, a nothing, seeing nothing, blind. He began that day as a man in charge who knew where he was going. He ended that day needing someone to lead him by the hand like a little child. He began that day breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He ended up crying for mercy. He began that day saying what all he was going to do. He ended up that day asking the Lord what he was going to do with him. He began that day hating and persecuting true believers. He ended that day loving them and himself being persecuted. And this is where I want to pick up this persecution that he endured. It says over there in verse 16, "I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And later on, Tammy, he didn't think it. He thought it was a high honor, didn't he? All that he lost for Christ's sake. Traded dung for pearls. And the Lord is about all of us. He said, "It's not only given unto you believe. You believe because I gave you that," he said. "But also to suffer for my name's sake." What a privilege. What an honor. Well, it says in verse 18, here's what happened to Saul. It says, immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. Isn't that what happened, John? It's like, oh, now I see. I see. Now I see God really is God, isn't it? Now I see myself. I really am nothing, aren't I? I'm not. Remember in Paul in Romans, he said, "I thought I was righteous. I realize I'm not now." I really do see now that Christ is all. He really is all in salvation. He's all my hope. I see. It dawned on him. The light of the knowledge of all this is for the glory of God through Jesus Christ. And the same thing happened to us, doesn't it? Huh? When the light, which is Christ, appears to us. In verse 18, it says he arose and was baptized. He was baptized. Saul? Well, he's a preacher. He's being baptized? Well, he's been a preacher for years. He just got saved. He'd been in church for years. I thought he was already saved, old Saul. No, Saul will tell you. No, I wasn't saved at all. I was lost. Thought I was. Saul would tell you. No, I preached to God I didn't know. I desired to be a teacher of the law. I didn't know anything about the law. No, he said, I didn't know the true God. I had a God, I believed, but he wasn't God at all. And I didn't know this Lord in whose hands I am. I didn't know I needed mercy. But he showed me great mercy. Now I know the true God and his true Christ. And I'm being baptized to confess him, to confess that I didn't know him before. But by His grace, I know Him now. By His grace. He's revealed Himself in me, to me. And I'm being baptized to confess to the world that that old Reverend Dr. Father Holy Paul is nothing but a sinner saved by the grace, the mercy, sovereign mercy and grace of God that's in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And you can just throw all that stuff away. He said, just wash it on out of here. Wash it on out. I'm dead, crucified with Christ now. Let Saul die. Let Christ live forever. Christ is all. That's what it means to be baptized. You know, down in Mexico, that is a predominantly Catholic country. If you want to know something, and I bring up Catholicism a lot. In fact, it's no worse than Southern Baptist Arminian religion. Honestly. You've got the truth, you've got the real gospel, and then you've got error, and sometimes it's real close, but it's still error. Nevertheless, down in Mexico, those of you who have been to Mexico, you've seen Catholicism in its true light. The way the whole world sees it, not the way they mask it here in this country. But down there, it's the most oppressive religion of all, isn't it? It's full of extortion. Remember when the Lord said to the Pharisees, you're full of extortion and excess. They extort money out of the poor people, holding their relatives' souls ransom for money. That's called indulgences. That's what purgatory is, people. They believe in purgatory, and they tell these poor people that if your relatives are in purgatory trying to get into heaven, the only way they can get out of there is you pay us money. That's what they do, don't they? And they extort money out of these poor people who barely have enough money to buy tortillas and live in grass huts, while these rich priests and the Pope come down there and blesses them. And they put all their money into these elaborate cathedrals in the middle of town, you know, full of gold and all the trappings and all that. It's oppressive. It's wicked. It's extortion. And for the person, now when Brother Walter, now Brother Cody, goes down there and preaches this gospel, and that country is 98% Catholic, and they go down there with this, the truth will set you free. Free from these men, this oppression, this religion. There is no purgatory. There is no purgatory. If you're in Christ, you're seated in the heavenlies. Well, anyway, these men go down there and preach the gospel. And God in mercy reveals Himself to these poor people. And they receive the truth and embrace it, gladly receive it. And they confess Him in baptism. This is what the Lord said to do. But if you do, down there, if you do that, and nearly everybody there is a part of a large family and they depend on each other for money and for to help each other out. They're so poor. But if you do, you are kicked out of your family. I mean actually, they will have nothing more ever to do with you again. They'll disown you, excommunicate you, nothing. You're gone. It's like you don't exist. But they've done it by God's grace, by the hundreds, even thousands. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We must confess. Paul said, Paul couldn't help but speak the things he'd seen and heard. And he was excommunicated, but he couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. And verse 20 says he preached Christ in the synagogue that He is the Son of God. Immediately, he preached Christ. Christ was his message from then on. Not the law. Not the law. Christ. Keeper of the law. Not his religion. Not his works. Oh no, Christ's work. Christ. All his religion from that day was Christ. And all he could tell anyone was Christ is all. He listened to him preach. Same message. Like John. Every time. All he could preach was Christ is all. Oh. And well, people heard this. His friends, his family, verse 21, they heard this and they were amazed and said, "Is this not he that used to destroy them that called on this name? Isn't this him that once hated the mention of that name? Hated this way? Isn't this him?" You see, he was so radically different that they couldn't hardly really recognize him. Go to John chapter 9 with me. John chapter 9. Ironically, same chapter in the Gospel of John as Acts. John 9. Story of this blind man. Many of you know this story. Saul was like this blind man. And what happened to him happened to the other. That this change that the Lord had brought over this man was so great, so marvelous, wonderful grace. The wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. Greater than all our sin. How can the tongue describe it? Where shall our praise begin? But it was so great that he's almost unrecognizable. This Saul and this blind man. They said in verse 6, the Lord spat on the ground, made clay, and anointed the blind man's eyes. And go wash, he said. In verse 7, he washed and he came seeing. Scales fell from his eyes. Well, the neighbors that saw him, verse 8, they said of him that was blind, isn't this he that sat and begged? Isn't this him? They said, well, it looks like him. I think it is, but he's different. Yeah, it's him, but there's something radically changed, different about him. Or if you read between the lines, isn't this he who believed in a God who was a beggar? He doesn't believe that now, does he? Well, and then they asked him, who did this? And he told them who it was. They came and he told his parents, this blind man. And they said, ask him. Go back to Acts 9. So Saul, what happened to him was so marvelous that this change that was wrought in him that they couldn't believe this had happened.
They couldn't believe it.
Well, after talking with his friends and former religious people and preaching, verse 23, after that, many days were fulfilled. They wanted to kill him. And it says they lay, verse 24, in wait for him. Before, they couldn't wait to see him. They loved him, loved their own. Now, he's not of them. They loved him being religious, hating that way. But now he loves this way and renounces his former, and now they hate him. Now they lay in wait for him. Now you tell me, every new believer in here, you tell me, what was Saul doing? Just telling what great things the Lord had done for him. Wasn't he? He was just telling who God really is, who Christ, the truth. And they hated him for it, Brother Henry. And you tell me, you who have heard the truth, you know, every believer at first is so thankful, so happy, like Saul here, so excited about what the Lord has done for them, what the Lord has revealed to them, that they are so enthused about it, then they go tell their friends and their family, and they think they're going to love this, don't they? I can't wait to tell Dad and Mom what I've heard. Dad, Mom, Brother so-and-so, Sister Sue or whatever, listen to this. Listen to what I've heard. I've heard the truth. You're going to love this. Here, take this CD. I'll try to tell you myself. And that's not the way. Here, listen to this. You're going to love this. Or go to a former friend. George, wait till you hear what the Lord's done for me. Wait till you hear that. You're going to love this. Wonderful. Take this. Listen to it. And George comes back. Did you listen? George, what did you think? George, what's wrong? I don't like that. I don't believe that. Huh? Dad? Mom? Honey? I don't like that. I don't believe that. Isn't that the way it is? Much to our surprise, they hate this way. And they begin to hate you. For loving it. And hate your preacher. They sure do hate your preacher for telling it to you. You don't. Oh my. They call him a false prophet. And they call this little place, Saul, you're in a cult now. I know that's what they said to him. Don't you, John? That's a cult down there. How could you fall for that cult? And they lay in wait for you, don't they? They lay in wait. I remember one of my old friends told my wife, said, we'll wait. He'll change. I've seen him go through change. There's nothing to this. We'll wait. So wait and see. They wait for you. Wait for you to slip up. Wait for you to fall. And you do. And you say, ha-ha. Remember they said that to David? Aha, aha. See? Yeah, I've fallen, yes, but my hope's still the same. So old Saul's friends and family became his enemies for the truth's sake. For Christ's sake, didn't it? And the same thing with you. Our Lord wrote this to the Thessalonians. He said, brethren, our gospel came to you, not in word only, but in power. Life-giving power. Truth-revealing power. Bringing the dead to life.
darkness to light. Our gospel came in word only, but not in word only, but in a power and a Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, and you received the same word with much affliction. Same thing. And over in 2 Thessalonians, he said, we glory in you because your persecutions and the tribulations that you endure. That's a manifest token, he said, of the righteous judgment of God upon all that are worthy of the kingdom. He said, you suffer for my name's sake. They kick you out. If your mother and your father forsake you, I'll take you in. And no man has left father, mother, anybody who's been persecuted and lost everything. You lose everything. I'll give you 100-fold back. You'll not lose a thing, our Lord said. You'll lose father and mother, but you'll have a father that will never forsake you. You lose a husband, and he doesn't love me. Your maker then on is your husband. You lose children, you lose houses and land. You're going to have 100 houses. Any city, nearly any place you go, you'll find a place to stay. The Lord promised. He can't lie. Real family. Real family sticks closer than a brother. People that love you, not what they can get out of you, but what they can do for you. Now, that's a friend, isn't it? I used to have friends, Catherine, that were my friends as long as I had a pocket full of money. What they get out of me. And after a while, I started telling them the gospel that I heard. They didn't want a thing to do with me. I didn't get rid of them. They dumped me. Well, you know, there was skepticism at first of old Saul, wasn't it? They were skeptical. The disciples, they said in verse 26, they said they were afraid of him. They didn't believe he was a disciple. This can't be true. This can't be true. Oh, Mac can't be that way. He can't be. And you know, we're told not to lay hands on anyone suddenly. And just, you know, someone that believes the doctrines of grace, they say that. We should give them the benefit of the doubt. I hope they do. But we don't quickly call someone brother. That's too precious a term. But look here. Barnabas, verse 27. Here's an old, a faithful believer, took him and brought him to the apostles, and he said, and he declared unto them, fellas, I believe you've seen the Lord. I really do. And he spoken, the Lord spoke to him, and how he preached boldly in this name. What Barnabas was saying, John, was, fellas, I really believe something has happened to old Saul. I really do believe he's a new creature in Christ, because that's all he wants to talk about. That's all he wants to talk about is Christ. You listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to his testimony. And Saul will tell you. What do you believe, Saul? Christ. Well, what about your old religion? It's nothing. It's done. Christ is all. He's everything. How were you saved, Saul? Lord saved me. Lord revealed himself to me, in me. Lord had mercy on me. But nothing. But God. Rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved me, quickened me by his grace. Even when I was dead in sin, quickened me together with Christ. What's your hope, Paul? What's your hope, Saul? What's all your hope? Christ! On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on the Lord Jesus Christ's name. That's all my salvation. He is all my salvation. Fellas, Barnabas said, I believe he knows the Lord. I believe he's a brother. Don't you? That's all he wants to do. And look at it. Verse 28 says, and he was with them coming and going. Wherever they went, he said, can I go? Can I go? Whenever they were meeting together, said, can I come? Well, sure you can. Y'all going to meet tonight? Wednesday night? I don't deserve to be there, but can I come? Can you come? Well, of course you can come. We're going to preach the gospel in another town. Can I go? Of course you can. I remember young men in the church there in Ashland were being called to preach, and every one of us fellows just couldn't wait to go. Where are you going? Fellows going down to Paintsville to preach at the jail. Can I go? Just fought for a seat in the car. He was with them, coming and going, because he's one of them. He's one of them. And it said there in verse 31, didn't you love that? It says the churches, now they had rest. They're edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and comfort of the Holy Ghost. Isn't unity? Oh, my. It's a wonderful thing. And when the Lord saves an old rebel and brings him into the church, it's just new life. Isn't it? New life. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Well, would you turn with me in closing to the book of Ruth, little book of Ruth. You'll find it right after Judges, right before 1 Samuel. You find Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel. The reason I said that is because I'm trying to find it right now. There it is, Ruth, little book of Ruth. And let me illustrate here, let the Scriptures illustrate what it means to be with God's people. Saul was with them, coming and going. How do you know he's one of them? Because of who he believed, who he loved, who he wanted to be with. Same with this woman named Ruth. This story, most have heard it, but Ruth lost her husband, Naomi lost her husband. Now, these two widows, and Naomi here represents really the Lord Jesus Christ or His people, the church. And Naomi is going back to Bethlehem, back to her people where the Lord has bread aplenty. So they're dying in this heathen land. And Naomi said, now she had two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. In verse 8, Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, who were heathen, remember, Moabites. They married Naomi's sons, and both of them died. All right? You know good and well Naomi told them who she believed in the gospel, did you? Two girls. Verse 8. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with the dead, with my husband and my sons, and you with me. Lord grant you rest that you may find another husband. I hope and pray that each one of you will find another husband. Okay? So leave. And she kissed them. They lifted up their voice and wept. And she said, surely, they said, we will return with thee to your people. Naomi said, no. Verse 11. I don't have any more sons. I can't give you a husband. If you're looking for a husband, I don't have one. And I don't know of any eligible men there in Bethlehem. I'm going to get bread. So you stay here. Go your way. Verse 12. Go your way, daughters. I'm too old to give you a husband. Verse 13, I can't, no matter what. And they, verse 14, they all lifted up their voices and wept. And Orpah, one of these girls, kissed her mother-in-law and said, okay, I'm leaving. I got to have a man. And I'm going back. But Ruth, she's hanging on to her mother-in-law. Like a believer when he first hears Christ and sees Him, lays hold on Him, I think, as not wanting to let go. And Naomi said to her, verse 15, Naomi said to Ruth, "Behold, your sister-in-law is gone back to her people and to her gods. You go back. You go back to your people and your gods." And here's what Ruth said. Ruth said, "I entreat thee, entreat me not. Please don't make me leave you. Please don't leave me, and don't let me leave you. Please, or return from following after thee. Where you go, I'll go. Huh? Where you lodge, where you abide, that's where I want to live. Thy people will be my people, and your God is my God." Isn't that what you say to our Lord Himself? Don't, please, Lord, you don't have to take me. Please don't leave me. Please don't let me leave you. Where you go, I want to follow you. Oh my, where you lodge, I want to abide in you. Your people, they're my people. Your God, thou art God, and my God. Please, where you die, see, I want to die the death of the righteous. I want to die in faith. I will die. I want to be crucified with Christ, don't you? There I will be buried. I will be buried with Him and risen again. The Lord do so to me and also more if aught but death part thee and me. I want to be with you forever. Don't let me. And it says when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded, she's not going to change her mind. She can't run her off, Tammy. She can't run her off. And you're not going to go back to your people. You're going to go with me no matter what. I can't give you a husband. I'm not after a husband. I can't give you riches and all of that. I don't want that. I need bread, food, and raiment, and to be with you. So it says she quit trying to dissuade him. Okay, you can come with me. What about you? All of you. Huh? Our Lord said to His disciples one time, He said, most people thought they were hard things He was saying. Is what the Lord says hard thing? Is His yoke hard? And He said to His disciples, "Will you also go away?" They said, "To whom? Well, to what? We're not after any of these things. We want you. Thou hast the words of life. And perhaps if you cannot be persuaded to go after anything else, maybe this God is your God. Huh? If you can't be persuaded, old Moses." You remember that story, old Moses talking to his brother-in-law, Hobab was his name. Moses, he said, "Now we're going on a journey. We're just going to dwell in tents here." He said to Hobab, "But you come thou with us, we'll do you good. We're going to a place," he said, "God's going to do good by us." He's already promised it. And he said, "We're going to a place where God is. It's going to be a sojourn, yeah, but God has promised to do good by us." And he said, "What good the Lord does for us, we'll do to you likewise." "Well, silver and gold," Peter said to that lame man, "have we none, but such as we have, we'll give unto you. Come thou with us." We tell the world it. "Come thou with us, we'll do you good." But we don't have programs for you. Your kids and singles ministry before you find a husband. But what we do hope, what we do pray is that the Lord Himself, Boaz Himself, did Ruth find a husband? Tell me, did Ruth find a husband? She didn't go to find a husband.
She found life, Nancy.
But God, with that, gave her all things. Gave her a husband that loved her. Christ-like man, a real man. Isn't the Lord merciful? Don't you know at the end of her day, she with a baby on her lap, that grandson of David, David being the grandson. The great-great-grandfather of David. On her lap, with that wonderful man, thinking, I'm so glad that the Lord didn't leave me to my idols. I'm so glad the Lord wouldn't let me go back home like my sister to my idols and my people. I'm so glad that He entreated me not to leave. So glad. And that's the way all of us someday sitting in glory with the Son of God Himself, all these breath. Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord wouldn't take no for an answer? Aren't you glad? Well, you know, Paul, it says he was with them coming and going. He was with them coming and going. Wherever they went, he said, your people now are my people. Your God, this Lord Jesus is my God. Yes, He is. This is the way. And the people hated Him for it. And He suffered because of it. Oh, but where is He now? Where is He now? And oh my, God has promised great things for them that love Him. And those who have lost whatever and suffered whatever, He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Have prepared for them a city. And those that declare such things, that embrace the truth, that lay hold on Christ and say they're looking for another city, God's not ashamed to call them brethren. And He's prepared them a place, and we'll be with them. So, a few short years. All right. Brother Gabe.